Welcome back to Tom Hanks Defense Force. Jack, the last time we did a mystery pitch, we did the endings. So now we're going back
to the beginnings of a film. Yeah, we're going back to the future, baby.
Hell yeah, baby.
And now for our feature presentation, Tom Hanks Defense Force, with your hosts, Alex Halpern and Jack Fryer, a podcast for people who love film, television, and Tom Hanks. Welcome back. So, mystery pitches, one of my favourite kinds of episodes.
Yeah, my favourite episode we've done so far is the Bernstein's Bagels one. I listen to that quite a lot.
It's I so brush my fun. Teeth to Bernstein Bagels. I tie my shoelaces to Bernstein Bagels.
Yeah. If you don't know the game of Mystery Pitch by now, basically me and Alex make each other do a pitch on the spot. We know nothing about it. There's no prep, no research, nothing.
It's pure creativity and improvisation on the spot.
So, for example, I would give Alex a concept of doing a film about Lego and he'd have to make a film about Lego on the spot. But this time we're doing a little twist to it again. Twist. We're doing another twist. You did it last time, I'm doing it this time. But yeah, I'm doing a twist and we give each other the beginning of the film and then nothing else after
and
that.
And we have to pitch the rest of the film.
Yeah.
So we have to create the rest of the narrative and the characters from that one beginning that the other person assigns us.
Yeah.
So, this is going to be interesting.
Okay.
Jack, do you want to go first?
Yeah, let's go first.
Shall I pitch you first?
Yeah, you pitch to me first.
Okay, Jack, your beginning is a group of three-year-olds successfully pull off a bank heist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you...
This can be any genre. It can be a comedy. It can be a serious drama. It can be pure social commentary.
Wow.
It can be a documentary if you want it to be.
Basically. Have you actually read a graphic novel, by the way, called Four Kids Walk Into a Bank?
No,
it's actually
but...
a graphic novel where four, like... I think it's teenagers actually rob a bank.
Ah, shit. Let's start again.
No. We can do it. We can carry on. Because this is three-year-olds, though. So, three-year-olds robbing a bank.
Yeah.
This is something different.
How old are the kids in that graphic novel?
They're not three. That's for certain. They're like secondary... they're high school kids in America, so secondary school.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, a group of three-year-olds rob a bank.
Yeah. It can be any amount of three-year-olds. They have to be 3 years old, though.
Okay. So, okay... This is there's a government program, right, where they take super geniuses and train them as the next soldiers in warfare because no one suspects a three-year-old.
It's
and there's a bank.
That's true.
And say there's okay. So the UK government and the Prime Minister is played by Mark Rylance. He's involved with the program because he was involved in the program when he was a child, and he's survived the program, and so he became Prime Minister. And he's a very successful politician. You know, he's liked by both sides. He's the leader of the independent group. I'm just joking.
He's an established liberal politician.
No, so he's a politician who's revitalized the country. But there's trouble brewing in the Middle East. And there's a rumor that there's in this bank vault in Syria, there's schematics for a chemical weapon program.
Ooh.
Which could cause havoc across the world if released. So, who is the least suspecting people to... Okay. So, is that right?
I'm thinking your little grin just spreading out.
So, who does he pick? Does he pick an elite team of SAS commandos? No. There's four three-year-olds who are super geniuses. They've got master of the English language already.
Mm-hmm.
The film's called...
Wait, sorry, are the babies from Syria?
No, they're English babies. But they basically set up a hole for... the film's also called Bank Robbers and Boo-Boos, by the way.
that's fantastic.
So basically, they set this plan up where there's some adults on the mission as well, obviously, because it's stupid to send three worlds into Syria unattended. So there's these adult agents... But they go along with a kid. It's like a family act. So there's three-year-olds. That should go for four. There's four three-year-olds. And there's the mum and the dad and the carer, who's also an agent as well. But all agents, obviously.
Sure.
They go to the bank pretending to be businessmen. They want to set up a. They want to make a deal with a bank. So they think they want to take a loan out, I think, or invest in the bank. They're foreign business people who want to invest in, but really they're agents. And the bank, though, has a play area for children. So they put the children in the play area unattended. And when the children are unattended, they start to rob the bank. So the carer lifts one of them off and puts... Also, the kids can all have, like, thespian voice. So the kids are voiced by Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Brian Blessed, and Judi Dench.
Like the enemy baby from Family Guy.
Yeah, but like it's based on Family Guy. If like Stu was like a year old or so.
Only, I guess we're going into Syria again.
So the carer, who's played by Jeremy Renner, of course, like because they need pound.
Good choice.
Yeah. Also, the mum and dad, they're played by Hugh Grant, and I'm also going to go for Catherine Tate. Yeah, Hugh Grant, Catherine Tate. They go in. They're doing all this meeting with a bank manager about setting up these loans and this foreign investment in the bank. Mm. And while then, the babies are robbing the bank. So there's like, the babies are crawling around the vent, solving all, yeah. And
you see this like x-ray footage of all the babies crawling across like through all these different vents.
Yeah, for 3-year-olds,
all these different shafts.
So these 3-year-olds are crawling through the shaft. They've got their little suction cups on, their goggles, juice box, they got everything. They're crawling through the vent.
Dummies in mouths, yeah, shaft theme music playing.
So the film starts with them robbing the bank. Obviously the third, well, I'd say more goes, they actually rob it and save the first third. And they've got to. They go in. It becomes a bit of Mission Impossible. They go down. They winch down. And they've all got different roles. Like one of them's like the tech geek who sits with like the computer. One of my Brian Blessed is the tech geek. Yeah, he's like Gordon's alive in the vent. So he's he's doing tech stuff.
Nintendo DS.
Ian McKellen is watching the flanks as well with his little water pistol, which is actually like a revolver, but it's just like,
yeah, with milk inside.
Yeah. And while Judi Dench and Patrick Stewart's babies, voicing the babies, they're all just crawling around and they're lowering each other down. They get the schematics. No one gets hurt as well, which is a great thing. Obviously, no one gets killed, no one gets hurt. Like a few people get knocked out, like they throw like a few like high tech milk bottles, knock them out. And obviously, they put a special gas down so they don't remember anything. Obviously, Brian Blessed is there cutting all the security cameras.
Nice.
And they get in, they get the somatics, the deal goes through, they go out, job done.
Mission complete.
Then it turns out, though, there's a flaw. One of them is noticed. There's a hidden camera that they don't knock out.
Because
it's a hidden camera that's immune to an EMP technology, because it runs a certain thing. So they get spotted, and a team of agents have then, the enemy agents, are sent to the UK to get the babies. And it's up to the agents to protect the babies.
Interesting.
So it's like a race, and they can't get the plane. This is before they get on the plane, though. So it becomes like this mad like race back to... They can't fly home.
And they're just crawling on all fours.
So there's this thing of the babies. They've got to get the babies home and the plans. So it's like becomes this mad journey for getting back from the Middle East to the UK.
Oh,
and it
I
becomes
see.
Like a bit like some like a cross-constant chase. So,
you see them traveling through Lebanon and Turkey, and Eastern Europe.
They see them driving through like these vans, obviously, and also there can be a bit of comedy as well. In fact, that these kids, even though amazingly smart and able to rob a bank, they're still not toilet trained. So there's like one scene where they shit down the shaft. They throw a nappy. A car just explodes. That's chasing them.
Molotov nappy.
And the babies also end up saving the day in the end. So they obviously the babies are all trained ninjas as well. So there's like a scene where they just walk in and just like kill people. Yeah,
I love how we're making the babies like way more like way less developed than what most 3-year-olds are.
Because it's like they can like, it's like the joke is like they rob, but they can rob banks, they can save the world, they can't save their potties. Ridiculous weird things. Yeah.
They can save their nappies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
The caption is they can save the world in between naps.
There could be a bit of pressure
on the mission though, because Patrick Stewart's baby could fall, have a nap in the middle of the shaft, and like we need to get him out. Like we can't wake the baby. Wake the baby.
No, if you disrupt this sleeping cycle, he'll be grumpy for the rest of the mission. Nice, I like it.
And that's and obviously it turns out obviously they get home at the end. The babies were all sent to a school, and it's all the whole day saved.
And what's it called?
Remind me? Bank robberies and boo-boos.
Bank robberies and boo-boos.
How would you do it?
Nice. So
would
I'd
you
go...
do it by accident? The babies rob it by accident somehow and just steal the plans by accident?
But it's like, shit. No, I'd give it more of a fantastical sci-fi edge. So I think it'd be this... I'm going to go quite John Carpenter-esque with this. So basically, it's set in this rural town in England, the middle of England, like Hertfordshire or Buckinghamshire or somewhere, and this gas is released, which makes everyone hallucinate.
Oh, wow.
And a group of bank robbers... the gas makes people see what they, like, you know, what they're looking forward to the most. So there are a number of people, so like these bank robbers plan when there were loads of, mums and dads who happened to go into this bank who are all looking, like really looking forward to having kids. And so when this gas is released and everyone hallucinates seeing what they want to happen, they see all like images of their future children. And the bank robbers exploit this. So when they're going in and robbing the bank, everyone sees them as babies robbing the bank. But they're actually fully grown adult bank robbers.
Is it Ben Affleck's move of the town?
It's they're all wearing baby masks.
It's like Happy Death Day.
Like from Brain Dead, you know, the Peter Jackson film before The Lord of the Rings. Like this, like all this, like these baby prosthetics.
Or is it like the mask on Happy Death Day?
That's a really good shout, actually.
Happy bank robbing day too.
Bongry day, happy baby day. Happy baby shower. I think that's what it's called, baby showers. But it's sort of, but the iconography is really sleek.
Also, my film, it ends, it turns out, the big boss actually is Alec Baldwin's baby from The Boss Baby all along.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
But no, yeah, that's really interesting. But I love that idea.
Yeah, and so in this, you know, quite in a sleepy town in suburban England, you have this, bank robbers who exploit a gas that makes people hallucinate their, you know, like their ambitions for the future or like their wildest dreams. And so for everybody who wants to have children, bank robbers make the most of that and exploit it. And then it becomes a bit of a... I guess this is where it gets a bit more ridiculous, but the bank robbers start to realize that actually they are just exploiting vulnerable people.
Is there a scene where one of the robbers is being babied by some mothers? Like, I've got a gun, I'm trying to rob a bank here, Adam. Oh, you're the cutest baby, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're good people as well. They're not, I mean, they're robbing a bank for, they're philanthropists. They're robbing it for good reasons. So they don't kill anyone
in
the bank. They're just literally, yeah. But they're just trying to avoid mums and dads, like, showering them with attention.
Yeah.
And that's where the real thrill of the title Baby Shower comes from.
Could there be a scene where one of them needs a place to hide? He's been chafed by the police. But because people see him as a baby, he hides with a family. He's like in a full grown man in a creche.
It's all like little man.
Oh, that was a weird
film. Was it Chris Rock or Kevin Hart?
I think it was one of the Wayans brothers. I can't remember.
Oh, you're right. It was the Wayans, yeah.
Wayans, that's it, sorry.
Yeah. Jack, hit me with your pitch.
Okay, it's another weird one, but it's based on an actual image I had. Basically, it's a worker, an office worker, has a really bad day. So he goes, right, I'm going to treat myself. He goes to a restaurant, orders like a massive plate of food. He orders like a meat feast. So it's like chicken breast, chicken wings, drumsticks, strippers, ribs, chips, mushy peas, and a pint. Mm. And onion
rings.
It's
like a proper like fat British meal.
Yeah, he has a really bad day. So I'm going to treat myself.
Mm.
And as he's sitting there, the waitress walks with his massive plate. She looks at him and smiles. He smiles back, gets up from his chair, runs, jumps through the glass window and runs off. That's how it begins.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's okay.
Because once I have to have, because I was in a restaurant.
You've been thinking about this.
Because once I was in a restaurant and I did order like a large meal as a treat. I was with some people and I thought I'm going to go for a large meal as a treat and not eat it, so I'm going to treat myself.
Mm.
And I said, waitress, being this massive plate of food, I thought, what would happen if I just ran up, jumped? What would waitress do if I just ran through a window?
Oh,
I thought, that's an idea.
Sure.
So what would happen? What happens next?
Okay, so again, we're going a bit more sci-fi-esque. I'm going to say, so... That's definitely... See, the moment you said a guy with a bad day, I was picturing Edward Norton, but then people would just jump to the conclusion that it's Fight Club. So I'm going to avoid Edward Norton, and instead I'm gonna be it's see if this was like the late 90s, early 2000s, it'd be a Jim Carrey film. But okay, we'll come back to axes. But so the reason for that he jumps out of the window.
He goes through a glass window, yeah.
Through a glass window, yeah. And he runs to find the nearest policeman, and he runs up to the police car and he tells them that one of the sort of anti-police, quote unquote, is in the restaurant and has found him.
Oh.
And it turns out that basically, people, you know, there has been this, it'll either be like some kind of alien invasion that's nestled itself within this community,
okay.
or even it's AI. So we're gonna go for full Project Fear, and AI has managed to create these identical robots from people who are trained with police combat techniques.
Yeah.
And so these people who are trained in police combat techniques are sent out by this AI to find all the people on the witness protection program.
Oh wow!
So this guy is actually on the witness protection program, and the reason why he jumps out of the window is because of the way this waitress looks at him,
and so he realizes,
it's like that particular kind of smile which he theorizes isn't human. And so he then realizes that, you know, the only person who can fight this sort of AI, you know, it's a cyborg even. This imposter is the police because they're police trained. So this actually turns into a bit of a morality tale that while the police are in a lot of hot water for, you know, obviously very understandable issues like Black Lives Matter and general police brutality in the US.
Yeah.
There is actually, you know, in the UK, the police do have a very efficient and often harmless way of dealing with problematic situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, showing that actually, you know, like, yeah, police, you know, like the police force are ultimately a force for good. And so really, it's about everyone in the witness protection program who, oh no, actually, all these cyborgs are actually, all these sort of imposters are, you know, they're kind of sent out into the towns and the cities to try and find these witness protection agents, to try and find these people in witness protection. And so the police then decide that they're going to counter that by actually playing to the expectations of these imposters. So they send all the people in the witness protection program out to go and find these imposters.
Okay.
And then the guy who jumps out the window realizes there's no exit, because when he's in the restaurant, he thinks he's just found one imposter who's looking for him, but he then looks around and he sees behind the waitress who's smiling at him loads of other ones all smiling at him, who've also realised that he's in the witness protection program.
So his AI are hunting people in the witness protection program.
Basically. Yeah, but then the police tell the people in the witness protection program to go out and try and find these people.
Oh wow!
So the
it's like cat and mouse, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like they'll be, you know, so the police are always in close proximity, and then as soon as they find these people, then they can, you know, they can sort of, you know, kind of run in armed en masse and take them out very carefully.
Wow.
So it's almost like, yeah, like a cat and mouse chase.
So is it like
you're playing like the enemy play?
Do you have to give
to
a police,
trap them?
Do you have to give the policeman like a certain code?
You would normally do, yeah. But then he has to jump out the window because he realizes that actually there's a lot of AI creatures or creations. I'm not sure what they would actually be.
Yeah.
But I think Hollywood is just the film industry is just scratching the surface of what it can do with AI. And there are so many philosophical questions about, you know, what, you know, the capabilities that artificial intelligence could have. And obviously we've seen things like Ex Machina and, you know, Terminator even that, you know, explores that to an extent, but they're all in a very, like, they're all set in these very fantastical realms.
Yeah.
None of them are really set in, like, everyday realities like this film would be.
Yeah.
Jack, what would yours be?
Okay, so if you're actor, by the way, I was thinking, maybe Chris Pratt, maybe just as, like, a bit of a different role for him, maybe.
Putting on an English accent. Is yours in the US or the UK?
No, I think for your one, I think. Maybe.
Because mine's in the UK.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Because mine's a demonstration of the way the police operate in the UK.
I might even go for Nicholas Holt for your one, maybe.
That's a good shout.
Okay, my one, I'm going to cast Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Nice.
And the reason
he jumps
out the window is because he sees this tattoo on the waitress's neck.
Yeah.
Which makes him panic. And in this panic, he just jumps through the window. And the waitress is so distressed. Like, she just puts the food down on the table and she starts crying. She's like, what did I do? It's something I did. Did I look at him wrong? Like, did I trigger something in him? But he runs home to his family. It turns out the reason he suffers so stressed is that he's also a demon hunter on the side.
Oh, nice.
And this tattoo he sees is like a prophesied tattoo, where if this tattoo is seen, it's a sign of like this
all
mega powerful
about
demon
to break
is
loose.
Going to,
yeah.
It's a sign. So
things are about to get
his
maleficent.
Family, his dad, who's also a priest, who's played by Gary Oldman.
played by Rob Byrne.
is Gary Oldman, right, who's like an exorcist. Also, I know he played an exorcist in The Unborn, but still, you know, I go for Gary Oldman's a priest. A single father, because it turns out Aaron Taylor Johnson's mum was killed by a demon. So obviously, but they've got to do it on the side. So even Gary Oldman's a priest, he's like an exorcist, but also, Aaron Taylor Johnson, though, he didn't want to become a priest, but he still, in tune to his mum, would still hunt demons on the side.
Nice.
So he's an office worker by day, demon hunter by night, effectively. Yeah. And he runs home and tells his dad. His dad's like, you've got to go back. You've got to confront this waitress. So he breaks into a home at night. He's waiting for her. She's like, get out, I'll call the police. He starts questioning, like, where did you get that tattoo? She's like, the waitress, by the way, is played by Ellen Page.
This would be a good audiobook series, I think.
Yeah. So, thank you.
This would be a podcast series.
She was, and she's like, I don't know, I got drunk, I woke up with this tattoo, I think it's kind of cool, and he explains to her, and she's like, get out, I'm going to call the police. As she's about to press dial, like, a demon bursts into the room, and he, like, fights it off. He's got a bit of magic, so, like, his hands turn into, like, holy power mitts on his hands, and he's like, beats it up, basically.
Wow.
Because he's not carrying his sword with him, because he's like, I'm going to travel light.
21 and Savage.
So she he takes her home to Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman's like, it's a quiz, and they take him to like, his ex's convent, and like the Archbishop's there. And
really?
The Archbishop's played by like Patrick Stewart, of course. And like Ian McKellen's also like another bishop as well. So I love those two so much. I've been in both pictures today, but still, that's fine.
Yeah.
And it turns out this is a sign of a demon coming, and they've got prepared, and obviously this means he's appeared ahead of schedule, really. And
yeah,
so the waitress is like quite panicking, and they plan to use her as bait to bait this demon out so they can then kill it. And Aaron Taylor Johnson
bit
and
of
Gary
a common theme of bait within our pictures.
And Aaron Taylor Johnson and Gary Oldman, they're both like, this is wrong, we shouldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, it's the only way we've got to do it. And she doesn't really believe all this, so they take, just to like prove it, they take her along to an exorcism Gary Oldman conduct to show like the actual power, like what they're up against, really.
Is Gary Oldman playing is his character fairly similar to his role in the Book of Eli? Because I can imagine...
He's a protagonist. He's a good person in this one, Gary Oldman.
Sure, okay. I can see him also having these kind of sinister moments every now and again. Where, I mean, particularly during the exorcism, he does get maniacal towards the demon.
Oh, no, of course. Like, when you're fighting, like, Satan's personal army, you're going to get maniacal. So he's, like, proper, like, they take a long exorcism just to show, like, what they're up against. And it's, like, a really intense, like, scene. It's, like, he's properly, like, actually physically, like, harming the person he's exorcising just to get them out.
Yeah.
And Anthony Johnson's like, you don't need to do it. It's like, it's a necessary evil. It's like, you're no worse than them. I need to
do
like,
it.
And he exorcises this demon and then, like, just obliterates it with, like, a spell. Like, I'm thinking of the paladins.
I like it.
I'm thinking of the paladins and priests in the Warcraft games who could literally cast, like, holy magic spells to, like, kill people. And I'm thinking, like, they go, right, she's like, okay, you can use me as bait, whatever. So... but as they're going to use her as bait, there's like a demon attack this church. But the thing is, though, the demons can't get into the church because it's holy ground. But
yeah.
But it turns out there's like a half human, half demon hybrid which can.
Who directs it?
I'm going to go for, I want to say James Wan.
I was thinking James Wan for mine as well. Or maybe Michael Mann.
Michael Mann.
Yeah. Is he still directing stuff?
I think he is still directing.
Yeah.
Maybe, I can't even see Soderbergh do it, maybe. Or even David S. Goyer, maybe.
Yeah. Eli Roth.
Yeah.
throw some gore
maybe
in
even
there.
Justin Lin, who did like Fast, Furious 5 and 6. But yeah, basically what happens is the demons break in the church, they kidnap the waitress, he's half demon, half humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out like that's how these demons are like influencing people more, because there's like a half demon which are like infiltrating society.
Yeah.
So, and then they eventually, so at the end of the day, Gary Oldman, Aaron Taylor Johnson, and another priest who's played by, I'm going to go for Idris Elba, who's like a more, they go find Idris Elba, who's like a retired warrior monk who's living in solitude, and they convince him to come out of retirement to like fight them, and they go and,
I'm just imagining this revelation when the audience sees Idris Elba for the first time.
Yeah. And then they go
Idris Elba.
And basically they go and save him. And it turns out the tattoo is used to invoke the demon. So the demon's invoked and they defeat it in the end, but obviously Gary Oldman dies during the fight to sacrifice himself. And there's also a scene where he's tempted because the demon appears his wife appear before him. And she's like, join us. He's conflicted. And then he defeats the apparition, and that's a representation of letting go of the grief. And he moves on to sacrifice himself to help defeat this massive demon. And it turns out the waitress gets inducted into this cult as well.
Interesting.
And the film ends with like him and Taylor Johnson picking her up from work, and they drive off, and they triumph, and they conduct an exorcism. That's how it ends.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that have a title?
I can't think of one. The Exorcist 6. I don't know.
If you have an idea for Jack's title, please tweet us at Tom Hanks Defense.
I think Demons Be Driven. I think maybe.
Demons Be Driven. Demons Be Dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your one called?
I'm going to say maybe something like The Insiders.
The Insiders. That's
or
nice. Inside Man 2.
Inside Man. Deeper inside. yeah, I'd say. I mean, that would be the title if Michael Mann was directing it. Otherwise, maybe something like the Pringles movie. No, I think. Ooh, that's a really good question. I mean, we were on top of our. Did we name our mystery pictures last time?
Yeah, it was.
Chaos in the Kitchen.
Chaos in the Kitchen. Burnsy's Bagels,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we named our other ones. You have a Bird Box. I don't think we named those.
Yeah, that's... Titles will always come later. They're like most... I'm sure the majority of screenwriters and novelists
think of the
title towards the end.
It wasn't until like a few months before it actually came out. Vice was just... Even when it was being filmed, it was called Untitled Dick Cheney Film. Yeah.
But then you have so many opportunities to just... figure out how the title is supposed to be emblematic of the film.
You can just call the film For God's Sake.
For God's Sake. Love it.
The Bible too.
so we have time to think of the title.
Yeah. I'm going for Demons Be Driven or something, yeah.
Demons, nice, I love it. And, big fan of...
Yours could be,
Babies and Boopers.
AI from hell, I don't know.
AI from hell, yeah.
Or maybe call it Infiltration or Extraction too. Yeah.
Infiltration is really interesting.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
Infiltration of mankind. Yeah.
If you have any ideas for our titles, then please tweet us at Tom Hanks Defense or write in our Facebook wall. Yeah. And if you have any other ideas of other mystery pictures that we can try to come up with, then please let us know as well, because we love doing these.
Yeah.
We love your support. We love you listening.
Thank you.
And we're always appreciative of every bit of feedback we
receive.
Shout
out to all the other podcasts who retweet us and follow us and recommend us. There's too many to name.
You guys are the best, and we wouldn't be here without you guys.
You know, we've done 27 episodes of pure joy, and we're going to do another 27. Maybe 28. Or 29.
So thank you for listening. Enjoy yourselves all the time. Keep watching good film. Keep watching good TV. Keep watching the shit ones too, because that's... You know, it's how you determine what the good ones
are. Listen to other podcasts. Start your own podcast. Just get in the Podden family.
Exactly. And thank you for listening, as always. And we'll see you next time. Bye bye. Thank you for listening to Tom Hanks Defense Force. Find us and join the conversation on Twitter and Facebook.